Bibles, if you will, and turn to Luke. We're going to be in chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. How many in here make a paycheck that you never are able to spend all of it? I don't see any hands, preacher. I was hoping. How many wish that they had a paycheck that they would never be able to spend all of it? Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know, I've got some exciting news. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you're going to go to heaven someday. Boy, that was excitement. Thank you. Thank you for that. Because you're all worthy of it. Thank you for that. I said, there's going to be a day, if you're saved, that you're going to go to heaven. Amen. That's more like it. We are in a Baptist church. You know, what's amazing to me as I started to think about this, and I was reading my Bible, and I've been very blessed because I have some folks that gave me a Bible calendar again this year. I love reading that. I love to work on that calendar. To me, it is something that I look forward to because I like to read the Bible. You know, I got to be honest, we didn't start out that way. It was hard. It was difficult. But I'm going to be honest with you, the longer that I read the Bible and the more I read it, and become acquainted with it, the more excited I get about it, and the more I start to understand, and the more I start to see. And it's just like anything else. The more you do it, the better you get at it. Amen? I don't believe any of you started out great at something, unless it was lying or being bad. I mean, we're pretty good at that right off the bat. But to learn to do something and learn to get it right, it sometimes takes a little bit of practice. And as I was reading the Bible, I thought to myself as I started to read these verses, it sure would be wonderful if there was a way that we could get something in a way of finances that we were here. It should be wonderful if we could get something that we would never be able to exhaust. I heard several people throughout history that have said, I've made more money than my grandchildren's grandchildren will be able to spend. Well, I got to be honest with you, I wish I was one of the grandchildren's grandchildren's because I'm pretty good at spending money, amen. I think I could give him a good run for his money. But as we look at this, how about a daily rate of treasure that we would never be able to spend? Wouldn't that be wonderful? A daily rate of treasure. How many have ever, don't, maybe not raise your hand, but how many have worked in here for cash? One day, praise God, and you got paid. I'm going to tell you, wouldn't it be wonderful if you got enough every day that you'd never be able to spend? Boy, that'd be great, wouldn't it? And as I started to read this scripture, I don't have the answer on how you can do that. Not for here. And I thought about these things, and I looked at Luke chapter 12, and let's all stand together. I want you to think for some. Think for a moment. I want you to think about something in our lives that may help you. It may help you to get excited about the things of God. It may help you to get excited about the things that you can do while you're here. In Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. We've heard a lot of messages about that alone, but we're not talking about that today. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not. I said a treasure in the heavens that faileth not. I'm going to say it one more time. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not. Where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't have the answer for here, but he's given us the answer for there. There is a treasure that you can start to do now that will last you forever. Let's talk about that just for a little bit today. Super Church has about 3,000 kids over there. So to avoid me getting beat up today, we're going to try to get through this as quickly as possible. Amen. Of course, whenever I say that, it's usually 3 hours later. But praise God. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Mike Sells, lead us in prayer, please. 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 Amen. You may be seated. Turn to Matthew. I'm going to read you a couple verses here. Hope you don't mind turning in your Bible. Not turning it in. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not. So what's he telling you to do? Lay not. Well, that's hard, isn't it? Praise God, the Bible's so difficult. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, wait a minute. Let me ask you a question. Is it then possible to do so? He's commanding us to do this. Amen? That means it's possible. Amen? Now, wait. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Turn over to John chapter 4. Right next to John chapter 3. Now, I want you to stay right there for a moment. John chapter 4, we're going to be in verse 36, but I want to talk to you for a minute. According to the scripture we just read, I'm going to liken it to an eternal savings account. God says that we can lay up treasures in heaven. Matter of fact, not only can we, he says we should. Amen? Lay up for yourselves treasure. That means we can. That means it's available. That means we ought to. Amen. I mean, good night. If you were able to put money into an account, wouldn't you do it? We should. Amen. We should have a savings account. I've been married now for a long time, and we have yet to have a savings account. My fault. But we don't have one, but we should have one. Amen. We should be able to put money in there and save up for whatever comes. Amen. Now, if you think about eternity and about heaven, God tells you that you can lay up treasures in heaven. He told you to do it, so you must be able to do it. Now, what do you think those treasures might be? Well, preacher, certainly those treasures are gold, right? Well, you think about that for a little bit, and let me help you. I'm glad that we give money. Amen? Here we are on money again. I knew the amens would stop quick. God commanded us, commands, take it up with him, us to give our tithe and offerings. Commands it. If you don't like it, take it up with the Bible. God will tell you later, when you look into his eyes and he says, why didn't you? You can tell him then. Still no more amens. Praise God. However, this is not laying up treasures in heaven. This is obedience. I won't be there long. Why do I know that this is not the treasure he speaks of? This to us is treasure, which is comical. I'll put it back. This is comical because what is this? Think about this with me. Just break it down to what it is. It's paper, and it's filthy. How many times you tell your kids to wash their hands after they've handled money? I never tell mine. My kids never get any. This is dirty money. But it's paper. It's ink. Is it worth anything? It's worth a dollar because we believe it is. Amen? Now let me try to find what Colton put in. Here it is. Now. Oh, he's not even in here. Jimmy put it in here. Where's Colton? There he is. Let's find what Colton put in. Dime. Now let me ask you. And by the way, all throughout history, money starts out actually worth what the money is. Piece of gold, piece of silver, whatever. It starts out worth what is. Then kings come along. Because kings are wicked, vile people, generally. We have a good one. Then this starts to become debased. It starts to become worth less than what it says it's worth. Why? To save money. So this dime, although it's worth a dime because we believe in it, is worth maybe 2 cents. I don't know. I don't know all the money. But I'm telling you, this is not worth what we believe it to be worth. Amen? You with me so far? This treasure that God tells us, I put it back, by the way. This treasure that is in that we put in here is not, this is money, not treasure. This is not laying up for yourselves treasures in eternity. This is not making a deposit to your eternal savings account. This is doing what God told you to do. You don't like this, and a lot of people hate it when the preacher preaches on money, but the Lord preached on money lots of times, and He commands us to do so, otherwise we're robbers. It's what the Bible says. I must preach what the Bible says. By the way, what a good crowd today. God bless your hearts for coming. Oh, wait. This is not treasure. But there must be treasure. There must be something that God's speaking of. It's not money. Can I ask you a question, Jordan? Gold is really good, right? Certainly gold is what He's speaking of, right? You know what's funny? I want you to think with me. And I talked about this a little bit. Why is gold precious? We talked about this a little bit last week. Because the Bible says it is. No other reason. Because there's stones that are just as pretty that aren't worth anything. Right? Gold, hold on now. Certainly it's so precious and so wonderful and so expensive right now. I mean, how much is gold worth? It's like $1,400, $1,500 an ounce. I don't know. It's just ridiculous. That to us is wow. That to God is construction material. It's dirt. Just really fancy dirt. Where do you get gold from? Don't look at me like I'm an idiot. Where do you get gold from? The dirt. God made good dirt. Diamonds. Oh, they're so precious. Every woman can't wait to have one. Diamonds are a girl's best friend. Man gets dog. What are diamonds? What are diamonds? Diamonds are dirt. Compressed dirt that God made us so we could be excited about having something pretty. But at the end of the day, it's part of the foundation of heaven. That's not treasure then. It's not treasure if it's something that God is using in the preparation of the place, glory to God, for us. It wouldn't be treasure if it's good night, if it's just a street. By the way, aren't you glad there's no Ravenna potholes in heaven? I'm telling you, I'm about sick of the Ravenna potholes. I'm just going to be honest. If you're on the street committee here, please do something. All those things that we down here deem as something wonderful and something tremendous. And by the way, I think you ought to work. I think you ought to do your best to earn a wage. I wish that we could all hand out paychecks that never failed. Woohoo! But I'm going to tell you, the money that we have here is not the treasure that God's speaking of. Now, I want you to read with me. There is a savings account in heaven. What in the world would we put in it? What in the world could we possibly think that we could put in it? It's not gold. It's not cars. I certainly don't want to take my van to heaven. The Cadillac, maybe. You know what, preacher, you might as well just go ahead and title that to me, because I mean, to be real honest with you. My seat in my van has gone on the fritz. Can you imagine who it was set for when it happened? It's set for my wife. So if I get in there, I can steer the car with my navel. So instead of getting it fixed, I go to preacher and I borrow his car. To this day, it's not fixed. But the car is not the treasure that we can lay up in heaven. Your big, beautiful, huge home that you want so badly while you're here is not the treasure that you can lay up in heaven. It's not part of that eternal savings account. It's not something where the moth and rust doth not corrupt. It's not. What you're laying up in heaven is none of those things that we deem as important. That, and by the way, you should deem them as important while you're here. But that's not your eternal savings account. Now, I want you to read with me John chapter 4. And we're going to look at verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages. There are wages, and there are eternal wages that we can lay up in an eternal savings account. And gathereth fruit unto what? Life eternal. If you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, there is an eternal life, there is an eternal death. We're going to cover both of them. But the first thing I want to start out with, is there an eternal life? Certainly there is, because the Bible says there is. Glory to God. It's not eternal life that we can lay our mind on. We can't lay our mind on eternity. Eternity to us is the last 20 seconds of a basketball game where the score's tied. Eternity to us is driving behind some of you senior citizen ladies. That is not eternal. We can't even imagine. We can't wrap our head around. We have no idea what eternity is. It's forever, where you step from time out of time. Think about that for a moment. Think about this. The most annoying sound in my life, by far, it's not even close. There are annoying sounds, and then there's wow. This is my alarm clock. I hate it. Well, wake up to music, preacher. No, because then the music just goes in my dreams. I sleep right through the alarm. I've got to have the I'm a morning person. I like the mornings. But I used to have my alarm clock right next to my bed. My snooze bar is the size of a Volkswagen. It lights up. So I don't have to be very awake to hit it. So my wife, when I worked at Goodyear, nine minutes later, click, 9 minutes later, I know I'm the only one that snoozes past twice, right? About the fifth snooze, and here's what people do, and I know people that do this, I will not mention their name, but their initials are Mel. Because I do it too, bro. I did it. I can't anymore, but I did it. I would let that thing go 5-6 times. Matter of fact, I would set the alarm half an hour, 45 minutes before I really have to get up, just so I can have that going through my head every morning. About the fifth time, about the sixth or seventh month into this, my wife goes, "Get out of bed!" Because you're waking me up. That has nothing to do with the message at all. Verse 36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, why do I say these things? I'm just going to take an exit for a second. We're getting to what you can lay up your treasures in heaven. We're getting to that. But understand this. The reason that I hate numbers for soul winning, love them, but I also hate them. Because the person that claims the number is the person that closes the deal. That's not what this Bible just taught you. Look what it says now. Look at what it says. Let's read it again, because this is a side note, because I'm talking about laying up eternal treasures, and you need to know this. Very important. By the way, and this is something that's going to be a lot of by the ways. I've learned from the best. By the way, I got to tell you this. So we're in the car going to a ball game. And I'm fooling around. The kids are in the back yammering. That's what they do. And I said, man, talked about coming to Bethel. And I said, you know what? Bethel is awesome. I'm going to tell you right now. Bethel's awesome. What a great preacher we have. Fantastic. And I'm fooling with the kids, right? What a great preacher we have. Boy, he sure is something. Luke said, yeah, he retired. He slept outside last night. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to tell you right now, there's two piles of your works in heaven. There's the gold, there's the precious stones, there's this, and then there's the wood, hay, stubble. Those two piles are not your money. They're not your cars. They're not your house. There's not the good person you are, because you're none of those things, and none of those things matter to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this. They're not in the wood, hay, and stubble pile either, because none of them matter. The wood, hay, and stubble pile are the works that you did for the Lord, but you didn't do them for the Lord. You did them for you. Motive matters. A lot of people preach, nah, motive doesn't matter. It does matter for your eternal savings account. Now, so you do something for God, you do something for the Lord, and by the way, you should come out to visitation. I was so excited. I was so excited. We had a really good number for visitation. If you count the bus workers, the people that came here to go out, I'm going to tell you, I bet you we had 15, 20 people out for soul winning. Glory to God. The summer's coming. We've got to be about God's business. And as soon as this weather breaks, we're going to be out knocking on doors. I hope and pray that you join me in going to get people saved. That pile is a pile of the things that we do here that will go toward the treasures that we can lay up in our eternal savings account. Over here, the works that we don't do correctly, those works are going to be burned up and gone. These works will survive the fire. Does any of this have to do with your salvation? No, not one thing. Not one thing. I'm talking about wages that will pay for an eternity. I'm talking about a savings account that will never, ever, ever be empty. I'm talking about treasure, not money. Treasure, not cars. Treasure, not houses. I'm talking about treasure today. Is heaven real? Can you put treasure there? Then I think we ought to be about doing that. Now look at this. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Does God make a difference between these two? They're both rejoicing together. Amen? I'll give you a good example. The people that you have the opportunity to lead to Christ, let me help you a little bit here. Those people are not your converts. I hate that term. He's my convert. Not your convert. He's God's convert. You do not soul win. But it's one of those terms we use, but you don't win the soul. God does. You warn the soul. Here's what you got to be careful of. I know a lot of folks that say, well, I'm the greatest soul winner in the whole wide world because they give you all these statistics on the great soul winner in the whole wide world. I promise you, if you ever played basketball, there's the guy that makes the shots. Jimmy, we'll use. I would use Fred, but he already thinks too highly of himself. But then there's the guy that passes the ball. He makes assists. Okay? This is a very crude way of explaining this. I understand that. But there's the guy that makes the shot, and there's the guy that passes the ball. The guy that passes the ball did not make the shot. The points don't go to him, but he does get an assist. Can the guy that makes the shots make the shot without the guy that gave him the ball? No, we see it on our team all the time. Fred just shoots whenever he wants to, doesn't ever pass the ball. I'm just kidding. But the guy that gives the assist rejoices with the guy that makes the shot. All my life I've been a point guard. I've never been a scorer, never been able to do that. I just haven't been able to score that well. But I can pass the ball. And I think a great pass is a whole lot better than a good shot. I really do. I think if you make a fan, of course, I'm a point guard. That's the way we ought to feel. But I'm going to tell you right now, when I make a good pass and the guy's wide open and he hits the shot, glory to God, hallelujah, that's awesome. Okay? Now, wait a minute. So you're the guy that took the Bible, opened it up, won the person of Christ. All of it's yours. No way. Because I promise you this, I know a lot of folks that are great soul winners. I really do. But I'm going to tell you right now, it didn't come because you were great. It came because he was great. And there was somebody that plowed that dirt long before you got there. There was somebody that gave something of themselves to tell that person about Christ long before you got there. And let's say nobody talked to them. Oh, you got me. You got me. Bless God, you Pharisees got me. Well, if nobody went and talked to them. I know a man who talked to them before you got there. The Holy Spirit calls people. It is our job to go get them. But let me explain something to you. If Jordan Riffle tells one of his family members, he's related to everybody in Wyndham, if he tells a family member about Jesus Christ and I come along and win that person to Christ, it's just as much his joy as it is mine. That's why when we started winning people to Christ, I counted it to everybody in Bethel won that soul. Yes, sir. Well, how do you do that? It's horrible. Bethel, they didn't all show up. I know I've got people praying that don't come. I know I've got people making packets up that don't come. I know I've got a lot of folks, and I'm not telling you not to come. I think you ought to come. But at the very same time, how dare we take all the credit for everything that's God's anyhow? If you want to lay up treasures in heaven, you got to release yourself from the equation and give everything you get to him. That being said, they rejoice together. There is an eternal savings account. And because of this eternal savings account, we ought to put them in there. Maybe these treasures would be your education. I'm going to tell you, we got some smart people in this room. But I'm going to tell you that education is not what your treasure is. Your smarts is not what your treasure is. You can't lay your smarts up in heaven for an eternal reward. But what you do with the intelligence God gave you can lay you up eternal rewards. Page 2. There's only one possible thing that those treasures could be. Heaven has enough gold. Amen. Can't be gold. Heaven has enough gemstones. It's foundation material in heaven. Can you imagine how pretty heaven's going to be? Had a funeral yesterday. Been a while since I preached a funeral, actually. And the family requested a Baptist preacher. That just makes me happy. One small faction of the people knew Christ, and the rest of them got a good bath in it. And I talked about heaven and spoke of its beauty. We can't grasp it. We can't grasp it. Transparent gold. I don't know what that looks like. Do you? Everything we have down here is influenced by less than perfection. Wouldn't you agree? Think about this for a minute. Think about this, what I just said to you. Everything down here, diamonds, they have inclusions. Amen. Don't they have inclusions? Maybe a little cloudiness to them. Gold is yellow or it's silver because there's white gold. But it's got impediments in it. Amen. Not perfect. Everything down here is less than perfect. But everything in heaven is perfect. So can you imagine? I've been to Hawaii. I suggest everybody goes there. Matter of fact, if we could charter a trip, we could stay. Bethel Beach Church. And it's beautiful. I'm going to tell you it's beautiful. It smells different. It feels different. It's wonderful. But there's imperfection there that is not existent up in heaven. If you know the Lord as your Savior, He's preparing a place for you up there. And I'm going to tell you, I'm pretty excited about being in a place that's perfect. I'm pretty excited about being in a place where there's no more tears, no more suffering, no more heartache, no more pain, no more goodbyes. Aren't you glad? There's no need for the sun because the sun is there in the light of it. What a wonderful place that's going to be. What must the treasure be? It cannot possibly be our education. It cannot possibly be our thoughts. It must be something else. It's got enough gold. It's got enough gemstones. It's got enough beauty. There's nothing we can add, but there's only one thing that heaven will never have enough of. That's the precious souls of men. Heaven's got enough gold. Heaven's got enough gemstones. Heaven's got enough of the things of beauty and the things of grandeur. It's got enough. But what it does not have enough of and never will have enough of are the precious souls of lost people. What can we lay up? What can we give? Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 8. Either what woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When I was 11 years old at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, I kneeled down in front of an old green register. I didn't pay nothing for my register. And I'm going to tell you, the angels in heaven were shouting over the 11-year-old boy that got saved. They were shouting over the 11-year-old boy that accepted the Lord as his Savior. They were shouting over the 11-year-old boy that decided that I'm going to get saved today and give my life to Christ. That they got excited over. They're not excited over your car. Angels wouldn't ride in them anyway, dummy. They just fly everywhere. They're not excited about all your riches. You'll never see heaven getting excited about that. You'll never see heaven get excited. But they got excited over an 11-year-old boy. They were shouting in heaven when I got saved. And not just me. They were shouting when you got saved too. And if you're in here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I can tell you this with all my heart. They'll shout when you get saved too. They'll shout when you get saved too. That's not why you get saved though. To have thunderous applause from the heavenly host, that's not why you get saved. You get saved because if you don't, you're going to go to hell. Hold on, we're getting there. Heaven rejoices. The angels, the heavenly host get excited. The ones that no redemption is planned for them get excited over the redeemed that come to God. Glory to God. Heaven rejoiced over an 11-year-old boy that received Jesus as Savior. But there's another eternal wage. The wages that you can give, the treasures you can lay up in heaven is what you do for God down here to get people saved. Only what's done for Christ will last is what we've always been our mantra here. Leading people to Christ is what fills that eternal savings account that will never go out and never run out. You get to spend an eternity with somebody you told about Christ. Can you imagine that? That may not mean anything to you. But I remember the man that told me. And I promise you this, I don't care how he's leading his life today. When we get to heaven, I'm going to thank him every day for telling me about a wonderful Jesus Christ. That's an eternal savings account. But turn to Romans chapter 6. I know where you're going. Yeah, but I know where you're not going. I imagine you could quote this verse to me. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Let me repeat that to you. The wages of sin is death. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care what men may tell you. I don't care what people may try to feed you. I don't care what Charles Taze Russell has said, Joseph Smith, the leaders of the day. I don't care what the Muslims are trying to tell you. Allah is not God in their language. Allah's not God at all. They may think it is, but that's not God. I'm going to tell you right now, the wages of sin is death. That's not a Baptist term. That's a Bible term. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell and it's going to be an eternal paycheck. Weeping. Gnashing of teeth. Your hands bound, your feet bound. Darkness. Heat. Undescribable heat. Burning fire. Preacher, stop talking. I'm not going to stop talking. Hell is real. And just as much as we can help to get people saved here, laying up treasures in heaven, if you don't get saved, you get the wages that you should not be getting. Those wages are death. And the paycheck is from hell. I know this isn't popular preaching today. I know it isn't. But it's the truth. Why should we go soul winning? So we can lay up treasures? No. Why should we go soul winning? So we can get in good graces with God? No. Why should we go soul winning? Because if we don't, the wages of sin will be death. We need to seek the lost because they're lost, not for what it can give us. What it can give us is just a wonderful reward from Christ. But while we're here, we should be winning people to him, because if we don't, they're going to go to hell. And if you don't know him as Savior, I can tell you unequivocally on authority of the Word of God that you will go and split hell wide open because you didn't accept him. I don't care what your background is. Rich, poor, it means nothing to Christ. Wicked, I don't care. None of that matters. What matters is what you do with Christ, and that's the end of it. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I recited that verse in the funeral yesterday, and I told them that's not a Baptist term. Being saved is not a Baptist term, although it's always coined with us. Glory to God. I'll take it. Well, I'm a big B Baptist. I'm a big all the letters Baptist. All of them, red, underlined, highlighted. Yes, I am, but that's not what's getting me to heaven. What's getting me to heaven is believing in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I need to tell people, and so do you. Because people are going to hell today. Hell hath enlarged herself. But heaven's got plenty of room. We can't lay up things. The treasures that we can lay up in heaven, that's not what heaven needs. What we look at as treasure is not treasure indeed. What treasure is in heaven is human souls. That's treasure. That's what heaven gets excited about. Should you give your tithe? Should you give your offerings? Yes, because the light's got to stay on. But I'm going to tell you, that's not what treasure is. That's a command of obedience. What a treasure is something that you, God doesn't, you don't, he doesn't have to give you this. But aren't you glad he does? Amen. I'm on a winning souls plan for Dairy Queen. I really believe that. Oh, you're cheapening it. I like to have fun with heaven. I wish you'd have fun once in a while. I look at you, you look like the bulldog when you come in here. I'm going to tell you right now, heaven's going to be wonderful. Amen. You're going to get there and you're not even going to know what to say. You're going to get there and say, man, the preacher was talking. I really don't know what this place. This is awesome. And when I go and have my big fat cup of Dairy Queen, Blue Raspberry, Mr. Misty Freeze, and I don't get a cold headache because there's no pain in heaven, you're going to know that I was right. I'm going to tell you right now, heaven is a wonderful place, but just as wonderful as heaven is, so is hell. And as much as you can receive wages for eternity, the wonderful things of God, the treasures laid up ahead of time, those wonderful things that we can receive for the rest of our days, so is the wages of sin. It's death forever. Well, preacher, you're preaching to the lost. I am, but more than that, I'm preaching to the ones that are not lost. Because there are people who are going to go to hell because all you care about is your treasures here that are not treasures at all. I'm glad to tell you today that that wage has been paid. I'm glad to tell you the wages of sin is death. I'm glad to tell you that wage has been satisfied. I'm glad to tell you that there's no reason for you to pay that wage. And you will. If you don't accept the Lord, you will. I don't care who you are, you will. He's paid it. It's paid in full. By dying on the cross for you. The godly that died for the ungodly. The just that died for the unjust. That man paid that wage. You don't have to pay it. Nobody has to pay it. All you have to do is accept him and it's paid. That's it. That's too easy. That's easy believism. I don't know where they get these terms. Easy believism. I don't believe God wanted it to be hard. If it's easy believism, praise God, guilty. Because it's easy to believe in Him. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. I'm almost done. Don't crank your neck. Look at this now. Can we preach enough about Jesus Christ and His goodness? I don't think so. If you look at this verse in Hebrews, one of my favorite books in the Bible. But we see Jesus. You know Jesus is not a fairy tale. You know Jesus is not a fable. Jesus is not somebody that was made up so we could have great peace while we walk this earth. We can have great peace because He's the peace speaker. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of your wage. For the suffering of that wage, because the wages of sin is what? He suffered for you to not have to pay that wage. He suffered for you so you would not have to go to that horrible place of eternal paychecks. That horrible place where daily, day after day, the Bible describes it, day after day, day and night, burning forever and ever and ever in eternity, burning, weeping and gnashing of teeth, burning, burning, burning. It's not a place where your friends go. It's not a place where you're going to party. It's not a place where you get to live the way you want. It's a horrible place, an eternal place, a burning place, a place of death. I have heard millions of times in my life, well, my buddies and I are going to be down there. You might be down there, but you're not going to be buddies. And you don't have to go there because Christ has paid that wage. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Every man. If you don't take his payment, it's not his fault. Wouldn't that be the dumbest thing ever? Wouldn't that be the dumbest thing ever? The bill for your dinner comes, and the waitress comes to you and says, "You know what, sir? It's already been paid for." Wouldn't it be dumb to say, "No, it hasn't"? If you're with me and you pay for my dinner, no argument's going to come from my mouth. Glory to God. Can you imagine saying, "No, Jesus, no, Jesus"? But that's what they're doing all across the world today. "No, Jesus, no, Jesus. I know you paid for it, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pay for it myself." If you don't accept him, that's what you're doing. You're paying for it yourself. That wage that you do not have to pay. That wage that's been paid. When God the Father looked down on his son looks back up to his father and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because he had the sin of all of you on him. Paying that wage. Paying that wage. Paying that wage. That's a wage you do not have to pay. But look at this in 1 Corinthians, and I'm all done. We're going to be in 15. First Corinthians 15 is the chapter where the gospel is declared. Tells us all about what Jesus did for us. And verse 50 says this, and boy, it's so exciting. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." See, God can make us incorrupt. Isn't he good? Man, God's good. If you don't get excited about this, you know what? Go to a Catholic church. This is exciting. This is something that's wonderful. What I'm going to read to you is what Jesus has done for you. You shouldn't dog on people. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm getting doggone sick of not dogging on people. Get excited about what God has done. Look at this now. "That flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That's dying, not soul sleep. The craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Well, one of the many. "Not soul sleep," which you may not even know what that is. I've been asked that. "Oh, just slow, just go to sleep and tell Jesus." That's a duck. No, your soul. You go right to heaven if you know the Lord. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible." Those bodies that we put in the graves, those bodies that we walk around in right now, those bodies, I cannot wait, glory to God, to get a new one. I've already doubled this one's assets. That was funny if you think about the definition of what I just gave you. I'm going to tell you right now, I cannot wait to have a glorified body. I cannot wait to get to heaven where God has taken all pain away. I'll be that Jimmy. I can't play ball down here, buddy, but I'm going to dunk on your head in heaven. I'm going to tell you it's going to be exciting there because we are going to get to be changed to a glorified body. Those of us that are saved, let me help you out. You that are not saved, you're also going to have a body that's never going to die. You're just going to get to pay the wages of death the rest of eternity. That sounds great. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written," glory to God, "death, death, that wage, that sin, that death. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, that wage, that eternal payment. Where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Boy, I tell you, if you don't come unglued right now, I'm going to have a heart attack. But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory. Which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you're going to pay a wage either way. You're going to pay the wage of eternal death, which has already been paid. You pay this wage, you're stupid. Can you say stupid in church? Just said it twice. But there's a wage. Glory to God, I hope you can see it. Jesus on the cross, paying the wage of death in full. No matter what. I don't care what you've done. You could be the greatest sinner in the whole wide world. That wage has been paid. You don't pay it, you have an eternal savings account that you will draw from for eternity. That eternal savings account has one thing in it. It's death. That's the paycheck you're going to draw the rest of your life. Or you can stop off at the cross and you can accept His payment. His payment. Do His payments ever run out? Glory to God, no, they don't run out. His bank account will never run dry. His precious blood will always be powerful. Ah, then you come over here and get yourself to heaven. Now, wait a minute. Preacher, I thought you were talking about laying up treasures in heaven. I'll get there. I've got 5 more minutes. We get over here. This is an eternal place that's being prepared for us. Amen? This heaven, it's not a room, by the way. If you got an NIV Bible, I'd get rid of it because in your Bible it says a room. Now, if you want a Motel 6 shot when you get to heaven glorified, go ahead, keep that. But I'm going to tell you right now, in the King James Bible, it's a mansion. Amen. And I'm not talking about Stan Hewitt Hall mansion. I'm talking about God-built mansion. Amen. Probably a little better. He paid for it. Eternity, you get to withdraw from that savings account eternal life. Paid every day. It'll never run out. It'll never run dry. You'll always be able to make, you'll always be able to have it. The debt that you owe has been paid. How many would like to have their debts paid right now? Glory to God, I'll give you some debts. Jesus Christ, the most important debt, the debt, the sin debt, that wage that He paid for you on the cross at Calvary, that debt has been paid for eternity. That is an account that you get to draw from, not only while you're here, but also when you get there, a withdrawal of eternal life. Now I'm down to 3 minutes. May turn into 15 minutes. Know this. Wait a minute now. But the Lord tells us that we can lay up treasures in heaven. The Lord tells us it doesn't end there. Eternal life is the beginning. How great is that if that was all there was? The Bible also tells us that we can lay up treasures in heaven where moth nor rust doth corrupt. What must those be? What must that treasure be? It can't be gold. It can't be beauty. It can't be cars or houses. It can't be any of that. The only thing it can be are the precious souls that He paid for. Now, wait a minute. How good is this? Who paid for them? He paid for them. We tell them about this payment. And God rewards us. Does that make a lick of sense to you? He paid the wage, a death that was beyond all comparison to any man's death ever in history. He paid it for people that hated Him. That payment is good for everybody. Savings account that will never run out for anybody. You accept it. Wonderful. This is part of your of the wonderful reward of Jesus Christ, eternal life that he paid for. But he allows us to take part in his payment. Not the death part of it, the reward part of it. How wonderful would it be? And I'm all done. I want you to think about this for a minute. Throughout all eternity, I'll have to give gratitude to Pastor Skyver. Why? Because he started a church in obedience to God. Now, I want you to think with me for a minute. How did you get saved? A lot of factors go into your salvation. It wasn't just, remember when I talked about the sower and the reaper, they rejoiced together. Do you know why that is? He didn't lead me to Christ. He wasn't the man. The man was Ron Brown. Yes, he was. But does the credit stop with Ron Brown? No, he's laid up treasures for himself in heaven because he did what God told him to do. And because he did what God told him to do, this little 11-year-old boy got saved. And because I got saved, I get to go to heaven. And he gets treasure for that because for an eternity, I'm going to show up at the door of his mansion saying, "Thank you, preacher, for obeying God." That's a treasure. Moth, rust, can't corrupt it. It's worth more than anything in the whole wide world. It's worth what Jesus gave his life for. It's worth what God has done. Why should we sow in? Why should we tell people? Because Jesus Christ died for them just like he died for you. And that is treasure. That is treasure. That is treasure that can never be taken away. Eternal treasure. Would you like an eternal paycheck? Would you like a savings account that could never be overdrawn? Would you like a checking account where all the checks are blank? There is one. It's eternal. We've got to tell people about Christ so we can lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. It lasts forever. What a wonderful God we serve. What a wonderful Lord Jesus is. He's so good to us. He owes us nothing. And he gives us everything. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, not one person under the sound of my voice deserves what you've done for them. Not one person I know lives a clean enough life to merit that wonderful payment, that wonderful payment of that wage. The Bible specifically tells us that the wages of sin is death. Lord God, you paid it. You paid that death debt for each and every one of us. Lord God, there's never going to be a day we can thank you. We can't do it. Not enough. And then you allow us to lay up treasures in heaven. Lord God, it can't be cold. You got enough of that. It can't be gemstones. You got enough of those too. I'm so excited to know that the only thing that heaven will never be full of are the souls of men. There's always room. There's always room at the cross. There's always room in heaven. There's always room for those that are lost to get found. Heaven will never be too full. Once we get there, the joy, the wonder, the splendor will never go away. That's a paycheck, a wage, an account that'll never run out, an eternal account. Those treasures, those, not money, those treasures, those souls of men. Lord God, thank you for letting us take part. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, listen, this is not the time to fool around. This is not the time to be looking at your neighbor. This is not the time to be ashamed. This is not the time for embarrassment. This is the time of dealing with Christ. I'm curious. How many can say with an uplifted hand, they've started that bank account that Jesus has given them, they've accepted that payment, And they know that they know that they know, 100% sure, if they were to die right now, they'd go right to heaven. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? You may put your hands down. I didn't see any hands not go up, but I'm going to tell you, it's very serious. Because heaven is real. But just as real as heaven is, so is hell. And I don't want you to go there. And Jesus Christ doesn't want you to go there. You say, I'm too bad of a person. That's not a prerequisite to get saved. You don't know what I've done. Not a prerequisite for salvation. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's no other qualification. So I'm curious, would there be one that would be willing to raise their hand and say, you know what, I really don't know that if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven, but I sure do want to know. I want to know for sure. The Bible says you can know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life, and we can show you. I'm going to say, you know what, I really don't know, but I'd like to know. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? Would there be one? And that means, glory to God, I'm speaking to a bunch of folks that are already withdrawn from an account that can never run out. And I'm so very thankful. But Christian, we've got a job to do, and that's laying up treasures in heaven. And I'm so thankful that Jesus even allows us to do it. We already owe it to him. We really do. We owe it to him to go ahead and tell people about him because somebody told us. But God rewards us for that. What a wonderful God we serve. I challenge you to tell somebody this week about Jesus Christ. Hand them out a tract. Let them withdraw from that account that never runs out. Tell them how. Because there really is a hell. And there really is a heaven. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this wonderful morning. Oh God, please. Be with the hearts as they come forward for the invitation. Let people be prayerful about who they can win this week. Let them be prayerful about who they can tell, the tract that they can hand out. Oh God, let them be prayerful of those things. And Lord, let us thank you today. Let us thank you for how wonderful you are. Lord, you paid the wage for us. Unimaginable, Lord, you paid the wage for a bunch of people that don't even love you. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for paying that wage. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing, preacher?